That's a special hymn for me, that one that we've just sung, because that was the hymn that I had at my ordination. And my ordination was 43 years ago, last week. So it's quite a special hymn and a special time. So I was chatting with a care worker as I gave her a lift back from the church of which I was student pastor in Drayton near Oxford. She told me she always did the night shift, the most demanding of shifts, she said. But then she added that each shift was another jewel in her heavenly crown. I said nothing, but I thought of the verses that we've read this morning. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. But then these verses are often misunderstood by evangelicals. There's a danger here to suggest that faith is all we need for salvation, so we make faith actually a work. And Paul concludes his words with this: for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Well, some years ago, when I was in Rushden, I was asked to conduct the funeral of the former matron of the local cottage hospital, which housed geriatric patients. Although not a member of any church, this lady had been brought up as a Baptist. Well, at least she had attended the Sunday school in a Baptist church. As I talked with the bereaved, the story unfolded of a spinster who had given all her love and energy and compassion to those for whom she cared, the frail, the sick, the incontinent, the disabled, and often bad-tempered and confused elderly patients in the cottage hospital. I could get no clear picture of her faith, but the parable Jesus tells of the sheep and the goats in Matthew 25 seemed the most appropriate to express the reality of her life. Then the king will say to the sheep on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me." And if this is the judgment of God? In our reading, Paul points out that while we are saved through faith in Christ, a freely given act of God's love and grace, we are also saved for the good works that God has given us the opportunity to perform. This comes from our relationship with Christ. It is, as the Apostle James rightly said, right belief without right action is like a body without spirit. It's lifeless. The heart of Christianity is a relationship with Jesus which shows itself in loving, sacrificial care for others, in particular, the poor and the needy. So the key word in the theme that I've taken for today, which is evangelism and social concern, the key word is "and." Scripture will not allow us to separate these words in our Christian discipleship. Mark gives us a picture of Jesus' compassion. His words of teaching, his miraculous provision of bread and fish, and his healing love. Our call is to trust and to follow. It is a call to a life of love, to follow the example of Jesus, as Mark recalls, to deny self, take up the cross and follow Jesus. It's a life of righteousness, exceeding that of the Pharisees, a righteousness that is deeds and not merely words, as Jesus says. He says that we recognize a person's true character by the fruit of their lives. And then Jesus tells the parable of two house builders. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So Jesus points to two kinds of life: just listening, or listening and doing, like building on sand or building on rock. One leads to catastrophe and the other to safety. There is knowing what God requires, and there is knowing and doing what God requires. So it's more than spending our time in church with our Christian friends and giving thanks for our salvation in Christ. Well, of course, it's good that we should do this. But it's also important that we consider what we do with the rest of our time. Meeting together as the gathered church to be strengthened and motivated to be the scattered church. For it is by grace that we have been saved through faith, and this is not from ourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that none of us can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, how do we live as disciples of Christ? The former Bishop of Durham, Tom Wright, challenges us to live as if Jesus has already returned, that he's already here amongst us, listening, watching, seeing what we do. Jesus did not preach at the poor and the oppressed. He didn't tell them what he would do for them. He didn't impose himself upon them. Rather, he said, "What do you want me to do for you?" I feel it's a real joy to be part of this church, to be part of a loving, caring fellowship who look out for each other, and also for those who make up the community in which we live. We have many opportunities to be involved in the mission of Christ. For it is by grace that we've been saved through faith. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. We share the good news that Christ has saved us from our sins, forgiven us, given us new life. And we also live as followers, loving God and loving our neighbours as ourselves. Evangelism, telling people the good news, and social concern, showing them the good news. We ask our neighbours and others we meet, "What do you want me to do for you?" How does Jesus judge our lives? Of course, it's not really judgment. Jesus' assessment of our lives is based on how we follow him. And he's already met us many times in the poor and the needy, the hungry, the homeless, and the oppressed. Anglican church leader Canon Michael Green, who died 5 years ago, said, "It'll not do for Christians to sing hymns and keep themselves pure in the time between the Advent and the return of Christ. In a needy world, We must be known for our Christian love and service, in our care for those with whom Jesus identified. Or to quote Steve Chalk speaking at Spring Harvest some years ago about the latest manifestation of the Spirit, people falling down, being slain in the Spirit. He said, "Christianity isn't about the way we fall over. It's about what we do when we stand up again. It is not about the enthusiasm of our worship, but the nature of our lives as disciples of Christ. The way we conduct our lives will demonstrate to whom we belong. Every act of love has its source in God. It is the essence of our being in Christ, of our Christian discipleship. Living love, doing the good works which Christ has prepared for us to do." Our son Richard works for Citizens Cymru, Citizens Wales, which is the Welsh version of Citizens UK, with a focus in his work on enabling people to develop skills and experience as community leaders and for enabling local organisations to work together with others to bring about transformation in communities. One of the highlights of his work over the last 10 years was supporting the Gurnos Zebras. Gurnos is a very impoverished and quite wild estate in Merthyr Tydfil in South Wales. And the Gurnos Zebras successfully campaigned to improve safety for young people in Merthyr. This was a campaign driven by local community groups, schools and churches to give young people a safe way to cross the estate to school and to the youth club. A zebra crossing on a busy road through the estate where they lived. The Gurnos Zebras. And as a congregation here, we have opportunities of caring for our community, caring for our environment through the work of the country park, supporting our community through the village hall, praying for and demonstrating love and care for our neighbours here, and supporting the work of various charities, local and national, through our giving. For example, the current Bishop's Hurricane Beryl Appeal. When it comes to evangelism and social action, it is all down to God's grace. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that any one of us can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, to bring about transformation in God's world. As I quoted at the funeral service in Rushden those years ago, Jesus said to the sheep who he received in heaven, "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did it for me. And whatever you did not do for one of these least of these, you did not do it for me." Evangelism without social concern and a prophetic voice is like faith without works. It is an impoverished gospel. It lacks a holistic nature. It is dead. In the passage from Mark's account of the gospel, Jesus is seen to demonstrate practical Calvary love in his words, in his teaching, and in his compassionate action. This is to be the hallmark of our discipleship. Here is an uncomfortable test of our faith. How have we responded to the poor, the disadvantaged, the oppressed, and those who are like sheep without a shepherd? We cannot have Christ-like evangelism without Christ-like
social action. I leave each of us with the challenge that was given to me by a street pastor in Cardiff. And she said, remember, you may be the only Bible that most people ever read.